Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Our people have gotten in touch with Ben Standing. He will have to answer for what he's done. Right here on Grant and Danny in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
When you tell us we get waffles, we want waffles. There's no waffling on waffles.
There's no waffle.
The exclusive sponsor of the Grant and Danny programs, the law firm Condori and Muron. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction, help you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Going to be a short blitz because the very, very pressing waffle gate has to be addressed with Standing coming up here in just a few minutes. So let's get to it. Nate Davis, USA Today, to spin us around the National Football League. Nate, what'd you think of Aaron Rodgers in his first game in over a year and change with the New York Jets?
Rusty, I thought, you know, for a guy who's you know, apex game is kind of built around his precision passing. I mean, I think that was always has been Aaron Rodgers' best attribute. You can see on some of those passes that they probably weren't quite where he wanted them. I mean, he said as much after the game, you know, particularly with Garrett Wilson. But, yeah, hey, he got through it. Needed to knock that rust off. And, you know, as Robert Saleh said, I think Jets 0-1 with Rodgers are much better off than Jets 1-0 without him.
Big one tonight in the AFC East. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I think probably, you know, Miami, Danny. I mean, I think playing the South Florida Heat in September does the Bills no favors and hasn't there for, you know, a couple of years. Both teams have some injury issues. You know, Buffalo, I think, doesn't have a top slot corner in Teron Johnson, and Dolphins, obviously, with some running back issues. But overall, I kind of like that matchup the way it goes, I think, with Miami. And, you know, Bills still kind of feeling it out with this new look offense and defense, really. So I'll give the edge to the Fens on this one.
What did you make of the Packers and Jordan Love struggling the way they did with the Eagles? I was ready to kind of just dismiss that as a weird game, sloppy surface, international, odd travel. But then Love goes down and hasn't practiced, probably going to miss some time, and it just feels like it's a devastating start for Green Bay.
Yeah, well, you know, Matt LaFleur did say yesterday, it sounds like, you know, they haven't necessarily ruled out that he might play this weekend. I mean, that's probably more coach gamesmanship, given that we've kind of heard multiple weeks and he didn't practice, and it'd be a shocker if you saw him out there against the Colts. Of course, we see shockers like Christian McCaffrey and whatnot already this season, but you know, I think it's a setback, Grant. You know, it may be enough of a setback that ultimately this could maybe be the difference between competing for the NFC North and maybe being back in that wild card slot. But, you know, it is week one. Like you said, I think the travel adds to some wonkiness there. You know, you're building in some big-time free agents, which isn't necessarily usually what they do with Josh Jacobs, who's banged up, and Xavier McKinney. But also you've got a new philosophy on defense. So, you know, I think we've kind of learned that the September and week one specifically is preseason for a lot of teams. So I wouldn't make too much out of this, particularly if Jordan Love's only out like, you know, let's say two or three games.
Nate, Cincinnati's got Kansas City this week. And even if they were playing well, that's still a tough matchup for anybody, right? That's the defending champs who seem primed to be hit the ground running, you know, just based on week one. They very reasonably could be an 0-2 hole. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably very recently will be. I mean, I think probably the one saving grace is that Luana Rumo seems to do things, the Bengals defensive coordinator, that seemed to specifically frustrate Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he kind of talked about what a bad matchup Luana Rumo can be for him at times. And you know, we've seen the Bengals give the Chiefs collectively some really good games. Well, I mean, you know, Burrow had all that other stuff the last couple of years. But yeah, I'm kind of concerned about the personnel-wise. I mean, T. Higgins is still banged up. Jamar Chase's issues continue, whether or not those are translating to the field or not. I don't think it's a plus by any stretch. and didn't really see the run game out of them particularly given what we saw Joe Mixon do with the Texans. So some questions there in Cincinnati for sure, and with the Chiefs going into that game with 10 days off, hard to really like the Bengals' chances.
Nate, we always appreciate catching up, buddy. Thank you for hopping aboard.
All right, have fun with Standing.
Yeah, we will. Don't you worry about that. Let's go to the local football outfit. Commanders with Cakes Alvo. What's Flexy. Better than that? Our pal, Johnny Cakes. Cakesy, did you have any of the same concerns your guys G&D did about the Kingsbury offense coming out of week one?
Are you referencing the lack of motion, that whole bit?
Lack of motion, lack of Terry McLaurin, yep. Lack of throwing the football forward in the air, any of those things.
Yeah, I think the biggest one is what you just hit on there, Grant, is it's just inexcusable that Terry McLaurin isn't involved until the second half. I'm less concerned about the lack of motion. I mean, that's just something that I think you have to deal with if, you know, Kingsbury is running your offense. But, you know, for your top wideout to not touch the ball until the second half, I mean, that's like Ron level of incompetence. I mean, not to heap more dirt on Ron. Actually, I don't mind doing it. He was a terrible coach and maybe even worse personnel guy. But that can't happen again. I would hope that the first ball that Jaden Daniels throws this weekend is to one Terry McLaurin. And, hey, this is a crazy concept. Target your best wide receiver maybe, I don't know, 10, 11,
Whoa.
Maybe even 12 times.
Whoa.
I know it's wild. It's a crazy concept.
That is crazy talk. So, as you know, Grant, this week, Cakes and I are sworn enemies. We're matching up in the Homies League. So we're going to lift the cone of silence and come to the table in truce, neutral. Then as soon as the interview is over, we will go back to being directly at war. Do you expect the defense this week, Flakesy, to get right against a terrible Giants offense that's made from sadness and broken dreams?
I don't know if they can get right, but if there's a team to do it against, it would be the New York Giants. I mean, Malik Nabers just went on the injury report with a knee injury. He was limited in practice today. If you look at the advanced metrics last week against the Vikings, the only positive plays in the entire game were balls that were thrown to Malik Nabers. So anytime that Daniel Jones went anywhere else with the ball, to Wandale Robinson, or if he threw the ball to Devin Singletary, or if Devin Singletary rushed out of the backfield, all of those plays were negative. The only positive plays went to Malik Nabers. So jobs 1, 2, and 3 for Joe Witt Jr. are to somehow limit Malik Nabers from getting the ball, and hopefully this defense will look better than they did last week. I mean, last week they had to cover a Hall of Famer in Mike Evans. They had to cover a guy who's really good in the slot in Chris Godwin, and a rookie who should have had 2 touchdowns in McMillan. So that was just a really bad matchup. This one should be a little softer for the defense.
Cakes, we'll let you out on this one. What'd you like? Give us some positives, something you took away from the performance that you were encouraged by.
Well, clearly loved the electrifying runs of Jaden Daniels. Do you want to do it 16 times? Of course not. I'd love to see it 8 to 10 times and incorporate some more, as you guys like to say, forward passing of the football. I'm a big fan of that. I'd like to see more Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler looked great in the opener, I thought, but only 6 touches. Let's up that to about 10 or 12 touches. So there are some positives, and I hate to pile on the guy, a positive is that Forbes isn't playing because he's undergoing surgery. So that's another positive for the Commanders heading into Sunday.
Kixie, quick one. Any concern or irritation that 2 of the 3 second rounders basically either didn't play because of nagging injury or weren't really involved in the game plan?
I'm not that concerned with it at this point. I mean, you want to see the young talent out on the field as much as possible. I'm gonna put that as a minor concern through 1 week. You know what I'm more concerned about, Danny?
Hmm.
My matchup of quarterbacks in the Homies League against your quarterbacks, because I believe you're trotting out Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson, and I'm starting, Grant, listen to this nightmare, Justin Fields and Derek Carr. I'm going to get beat by 100 points.
Grant, will you please tell Mr. Auville thank you for coming on, and the cone of silence is back on.
Oh, okay. Danny says thank you for joining us, and don't talk to him again until after the game.
Thank you, boys, for having me. There will be no communication between me and one Danny Hughey until probably Monday.
Attaboy, Cakesy. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, fellas.
That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We have tracked down our good pal Ben Standing, who's out in Ashburn today to get to the bottom of this whole waffle situation. Benjamin, how are you?
Feel a little concerned at the moment, but I am doing all right.
What are you concerned about?
Look, man, there's nothing worse for a reporter than when you're putting some news out there and getting it wrong. And
it's not really news. I mean, if we're being honest, like, you didn't report, as I said earlier, it's not like they signed a guy that they didn't, or they traded someone, or they cut someone. A little confusion with the waffles, but this is why it's funny on our end. So,
well, as somebody with the team just said to me, you know, there's going to be some 8-year-old showing up at the game now thinking that's they're getting some waffle mix, and you're going to get them crying. I'm like, all right.
That will definitely happen, inevitably. So hopefully you don't lose sleep about all the people, including myself and Darius going to the game, who are excited about the waffles. But no, what happened was, so Standing tweets out the waffle thing, which was basically you're going to get waffles if you come to the game. It's very random, like minor league baseball-esque, that you would give out a box of waffle mix. So I'm going, I haven't seen anyone else tweet this. I call up Standing, a little peel back the curtain, and he's busy and it's very quick and I'm going to break. And I'm like, is this a real thing or did other people get this? And he's like, oh, yeah, we got this out here right now. Like, it's a thing. And I'm like, all right, cool. So then we talk about it on air, Ben, and we do this whole segment about how the new Harris ownership group gets it. These guys are giving out presents.
What? Genius. So innovative.
This is genius. These guys, you know, they're giving their consumer a pickle. They really know how to get to their fans through their bellies and, you know, all this nonsense. Mitch Rales' idea, I guarantee it. He's just a man of the people. And only to find out they're actually not giving out waffles.
Yeah, you know, look, this is reading 101. Actually, the key point is to read and comprehend. And I only did sort of one of those things. And it says that it's technically like a I don't know if it's a raffle. I'm afraid to say what it is. But like, you go to Jane Daniels' IG, people will get picked and they'll win and whatever. But I knew something was off when PR started texting me, hey, where'd you get this waffle story? I was like, uh-oh, wait a minute, what?
Oh, no.
That was the tell?
Oh, no.
You're like, yeah, I was from you guys, I thought, right?
Well, I knew it was like an outside thing. Like, clearly has a sponsorship with this group, I guess. So I knew it was from that, but, you know, typically these things are orchestrated, coordinated, what have you. And so when I'm getting the message, hey, I haven't heard about this, I'm like, oh, boy. And then I looked a little bit closer and was like, oh, I better fix this.
Scott has a question here. He says, ask Ben, is there a specific gate we need to exit from Northwest Stadium to get our free waffles on Sunday?
I assume the W gate, right? I mean,
right. That would make the most sense, right?
Whatever's closest to a local supermarket, is that
the next angle was, and again, this is our own fault because we just, you give us an inch, we're going to take a mile. So we started talking about how we should figure out what Luke McCaffrey's favorite breakfast food is. And maybe they could give out like pancake mix 2 weeks from now at the home game. And we had this whole plan for breakfast all season long. It went off the rails a little bit.
Yep.
So
right.
We'll throw ourselves under the bus. But if you want to, you can come with us. I mean,
I definitely texted my wife, I want breakfast or dinner tonight.
However you want to do this.
Well, like my favorite part this is actually there. My favorite part is it says Jaden Daniels likes not just one waffle for breakfast, but in all caps, two waffles.
That is incredible. I was thinking,
if you said like he wanted like five, I'd be like, okay, two. That's not like that's like a pretty standard scenario. But
very
okay,
specific
sure, whatever.
Amount, yeah.
But I also knew something was going on because my buddy John just texted me a few minutes ago. He's like, are you annoyed with Grant and Danny right now? I'm like, why? He goes, well, they're like messing with you about this waffle thing. I was like, oh boy. So that's what I knew. Oh, I was really going off the rails.
Never. It was always fun. It's why.
Well, because we look. See, here's the thing, Ben. Nobody ran harder with it than us. We're like, when Mark Sanchez handed off to Adrian Peterson, he went like 90 yards against the Eagles. We're sitting there going, whoever's responsible, give him a raise. Let's get him on the horn and compliment him. What a genius thing to do. Like, we instead of like a footnote, we spent 10 minutes waxing poetic with each other about how important this was for fan outreach.
Yeah.
This look no further than how different everything is.
Sign of the times. Dan would have never done this. You know, all those types of things.
All the research that we did to find out that nobody's ever given away waffles at a stadium before.
Yes. We had Darius on that hours and hours to find out.
What an innovative thing.
Look,
we know that they've changed. They've upgraded some of their food options. I mean, who knows? Maybe by the time they're back for another home game, waffles is on the menu. You never know.
I actually think that, and you're first on the scene.
Yeah, lean into that.
Tailgate bit. Ted just said, wait, what? I'm not getting waffles on Sunday?
No. Oh, no.
My concern is the people that turned off their radio. So this one guy tweeted us a picture of a conversation he had. I mean, you just can't make this up. This dude, Joe, says, at Grant H. Paulson, you've made me look foolish. Stating this was the actual text convo with his buddy, who's probably like at a big boy job. He goes, nothing like 106.7 during football season. Just learned they're giving out a box of waffle mix to us at the game on Sunday because Jaden eats waffles before every game. His buddy goes, LMAO, that's unreal. And he goes, apparently, it was a false report, shaking my head.
Apparently, it's a false report.
Grant and Danny screwed us again.
Oh, God.
Anyway, no waffles, just to be clear. But there are waffles on his Instagram account, right? Isn't that a thing?
I believe that is a you double check with your sources, but I believe tomorrow at some point in the morning there will be some sort of giveaway on Jaden Daniels' Instagram for waffle mix. Look, the box is creative. Sure, why not? Have fun. Go get some waffles.
I think by nature of how this whole thing unfolded, you're going to have to be all over it. Like what? Like you're going to have to report on this like it's a real thing.
Are you?
Do you know what I mean, Ben?
Like by nature, are you a waffle guy, Ben? Or are you more of a pancake French toast guy?
It's one of those deals. If I get the third pick, I'm good. I can go for any. If you made me pick, I'd probably go pancakes. But honestly, those are it's like Charlie's Angels. Just give me whichever one. I'm probably good.
This is so funny. This guy just tweeted, "Standing me and you," and he goes, "Can't wait for this little one's first ever Commanders game." He's especially looking forward to the free waffles, and it's the cutest kid I've ever seen with a onesie that says "Born into this" in burgundy and gold. Oh, God, that's great.
I saw somebody tweeted, Danny tweeted about this, and they tweeted at him and me. They took my Twitter avatar where I'm standing next to Peyton Manning with my mic. They swapped out Peyton Manning for a Waffle House.
Yep.
They said they want this to be my avatar now. I might have to do it.
Just lean in.
I think you
funny.
Do it.
I think the reason it's great, and shtick aside, I mean, I'm not just pumping Ben's tires because he's on with us. As I said earlier when we found out about the waffle situation at hand, we'll call it waffle situation, like thorough, investigator, doesn't miss, batting average, batting 1,000
on football. Dots the I's, cross the T's.
This is what he does. He is in his element in week two. Waffles are waffles. We're not going to worry too much about waffles. But I did want to get you on just to figure out exactly what was going on, because I knew you would have this for us. So to be clear, no waffles at the game or waffles at the game?
No. My understanding, there will be no waffles at the game. Hopefully, no math either. I'm not good at either of these things, apparently.
Oh, my God. So good. All right, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. We will catch
up very soon. I will see you at Northwest Stadium on Sunday.
Look forward to it. Have fun. See you guys.
He's a good egg. Ben Standing of The Athletic. Go follow him there and check out his work. You should already be following him on social media. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. That beats a Cliff Kingsbury conversation anytime. With all due respect to Cliff Kingsbury.
Respectfully.
Although we do have to hear what he said about 16 carries. We'll do that next.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, taking you up to 6:15, and that's pregame eventually. First pitch at 6:45. We'll get you Nats weather and starting lineups before we get out of here today on The Fan. Cliff Kingsbury met with reporters, discussed Jaden Daniels' debut. That's a debut that netted him the Rookie of the Week award in the National Football League. He's the first of 17 Rookie of the Week award winners for week one with the 88 rushing yards and the two rushing touchdowns. But we hadn't yet gotten into Kingsbury on the number of rushing attempts, so I want to do that here. He was talking on Cut 7, Darius, about Jaden Daniels running the ball 16 times. This was Kingsbury with reporters today.
There's a couple calls, you know, where we thought we had premier looks that ended up hitting inside that you'd like to have back. You know, if he walks in, then it looks really good. But a lot of those, he did a great job. I'm not sure how many actually got contacted and taken to the ground on, but he does a great job finding the soft spot, finding out of bounds. But we understand, like, he has to take care of himself, and we want him to continue to grow, and you can't do that if you're banged up and on the sideline.
So my translation there from Kingsbury is, 16 attempts is not too many. That wasn't the problem. The problem is, are you taking hits? Are mm-hmm. you in harm's way? And his point is, he mostly wasn't. He did a good job avoiding contact or getting to the sideline. He said there were a couple he wants back, which include the goal line runs at the end, I think, when he got walloped a couple times.
Yep.
Maybe one of those powers, if I had to guess, where they thought they had looks defensively where they were going to catch him with that draw. It was basically like direct snap. They pull a guard. They get him going with power, a draw look. And they played it really well, and they stuffed him at the line of scrimmage. He probably thought he'd fly through there into space and be able to fall forward.
They found some sort of design flaw. They'd be able to get something big.
But you and I went back through the 16 runs before the show today. One of them is considered a run on that pass on the first play of the game for minus 15 yards
mm-hmm.
because it was backwards. It was a fumble, so it's a rush attempt. Another was the kneel down before the half. So really now we're down to 14 runs,
mm-hmm.
of which 7 were true scrambles and 7 in quotes were designs when you count the read option that he could have kept or could have handed off, which I don't know if that makes you feel a lot better, but still 14 instead of 16 is a truer way to talk about it. And then there were only 7 designed runs, so to speak. But he did not seem regretful of how many runs there were, I didn't think.
I didn't either. It's one of those things where I think of a basketball coach, right? Like, you got a really good player, a guy that can really score. And if he makes the shot, even if it's a difficult one for everybody else, you go, like, we got to live with that. Like, he's got to shoot it. Versus if he misses it, yeah, we need better shots than that. Like, it's an after-the-fact coaching point. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying this is human nature, right? Where it's a good shot if it goes in, it's a bad shot if it doesn't.
Do you agree with my logic, which I think is kind of what you were just alluding to, which I've been saying since you drafted him, which is you drafted Jaden Daniels.
Don't be surprised when he shows up.
Jaden Daniels is coming to DC.
Uh-huh.
That's a good thing, by the way,
yep.
not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to run. If you don't want this guy to run, if someone's going, man, he ran a lot, you shouldn't have drafted him if you're bothered by that. He should run. It's what he does brilliantly. It's what he does amazingly well. It is his elite trait. You know, if you're a hitter in Major League Baseball and the thing you do really, really well is hit home runs and you're trying to bunt all the time, that's a poor use of your skill set.
Mm-hmm.
For me in radio or you in radio or stand-up comedy, if you go away from your best bullet on the stage is probably impressions and Barkley. If you never use those, that would be silly. You don't go do a set or bring Danny Ruye in and tell him, hey, don't do any impressions tonight.
Right.
Why have him?
That's happened before, by the way. But yeah, but seriously, yeah, it's a thing I'll tell you about during the break. But the point is obvious. I mean, to me, like, you're the player that's here, you're trying to work the faders. Fader number one is, you know, making plays when nothing is there. Fader number two is just straight up runs. Fader number three is the passing game intermediate, short passing game. You're trying to work all these faders to get the biggest total number, to try to get the best balance, the best everything. So fader number one for week number one was when all hell breaks loose, run. Designed runs also. So like a third of the offense basically was Jaden Daniels running in terms of number of plays run and executed. And I think we'd all probably agree that may be a bit much. That's probably not sustainable just in terms of the number of hits and impacts. And, you know, you need something else. You can't just ask the rookie quarterback in his first month of football to be the hero on every single play every time. But that's the struggle. That's the balance we're trying to find, right? And that's why there's no one core singular set of, it's not a recipe, right? If it was and you didn't follow it, you'd go, this guy's not following the recipe, fire him. There's no tried and true way to do this. The best way to develop a passer for a kid that's got this unbelievable skill set also, right? I mean, most of the time, if you throw the ball at Jaden Daniels, you are a first round draft pick and you know, we'll see what happens. You know, you're patting the ball in the pocket and you're doing this hitch and this read and this thing and this whatever. Well, you had in the fact that this guy ran for 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns and could do something that only a handful of people ever to play the game can do. That's a tough balance to figure out what's best. And you and I have disagreed about that, and I think that's reasonable. But there's a process part of this that I feel like this coaching staff is sort of glossing over. Like Dan Quinn's like, yeah, his helmet falls off sometimes. And yeah, we'll teach him to slide. We'll get a national out there. They don't have the right level of concern for me. Maybe that's my issue because I live through what we all live through here as fans of teams in this town. But to me, there needs to be a little bit more process concern. You might get hurt in the pocket. You might get hurt somewhere else. But there needs to be more of a, we're going to do the best practice, not just sort of joke about it and say, oh, shucks, he's a dog. I can't have that.
Yeah, I agree with that part a lot, for sure. Like, wholeheartedly and co-signed. Verbal retweet, whatever you want there. All I'm saying is, I am hearing some rhetoric already from not only fans, but I just think media might be too strong, but people that are kind of around, that cover the team or whatever, and the idea is, man, you can't just have this guy running all over the place. And to that, I would say, why? Now, my caveat is, if you're throwing the ball successfully, you can't be running at the expense of passing. You cannot have games where all you've got is him scrambling and there is nothing in the passing game, partially because he's just taking the ball, pulling it down, running when there's something there through the air. But I guess I would say, A, everybody relax. It's been one game. And B, also, it's never going to be just he's not going to stand in the pocket and just throw all the time.
And he shouldn't.
Exactly. That's the point. Like, don't draft him if that's what you want. You drafted a dude who runs a 4.39 probably. You drafted one of the great athletes on planet Earth. Like, let him be Superman. Let him put the cape on. And I do feel that way about Jaden Daniels. Let's go to cut number 10. This is Cliff Kingsbury with reporters today on some of the design inside runs. Those were the powers where he went between the tackles and got stacked up. One of those where Vita Vea, the big 330-pound D-tackle, falls on him from behind. Cliff Kingsbury was asked about those.
We thought we had premier looks, really liked the scheme, thought it would hit in a different way, and ended up forcing him inside, and they have a really good front, and kind of collapsed it. And so second guessing it, would not have wanted him to get hit inside like that, but learning experience for all of us, and we got to be smarter. I got to be a better coach moving forward.
What you just addressed, which was wanting to hear more rhetoric that was anti-running as much as he did,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, that's not what we want to major in. Let's make sure that's not a weekly occurrence. I think this is maybe the comment that when you hear this will bother you, where he essentially compares him to Lamar Jackson as if to say, other guys are doing this too. Why do you guys care about Jaden? So let's listen to this one.
I don't think the first game with the reigning MVP of the league had the same amount of rushes, right? I mean, I'm not saying he's the same guy, but your first game as a rookie, you're going to have some survival mode, fight or flight going on. And he got out, like I said, didn't get hit a ton, and made some big plays with his feet. So you got to walk that line. I've had a bunch of guys who could run and extend plays, and you walk that line of when to pull back and when not to. And I think as he plays, he'll get a better comfort level, and I'll get a better feel for him, and we'll just progress together.
Which I think is totally fair and true. I guess my rebuttal to that one would be, well, wait a second. Is the goal Lamar Jackson, who is a running quarterback, right? Like, and maybe that's where we're headed. To me, what I liked about Jaden Daniels as a prospect, and I obviously everyone knows I was a big Drake May mark, but when you watch Jaden Daniels, what gives me hope and excites me about him is I think he's a better thrower coming out than Lamar was. And what I'm hoping for is that he majors in that part of it, that the running is there when you need it, but not that it's what you major in, and it's not like the first thing about your game, which is how it's trended with Lamar in a lot of ways, where it doesn't matter what receivers are there through the years, they're basically useless. If we're going in that route, just let me know, and then let's go all the way in with that. Let's go get a 300-pound fullback like Patrick Ricard, and let's jumble everything up and let him run off the edges and do all that. But to me, that's not really what they're aiming for, and especially 2 weeks in shouldn't be the coaching point that, hey, Lamar runs 16 times, so it's okay if you do. Let's develop him to throw the football.
Yeah, like, do I get to do, well, for the sake of argument, Pat Mahomes threw it 50 times. He didn't, but, like, So let's do that. Like that. I guess we're. And I'm not ripping Cliff Kingsbury here. This is, he's just answering a question. He's trying to offer explanation and provide some color. And he's got a lot of work to do. And he wants to get back to doing it. Talking to us is the last thing he probably is into. So I'm not really ripping him apart.
He gives off a I'm just here so I don't get fined vibe.
Yeah.
When he's at the mic,
which is fine by me.
And he's got a silly deep voice.
Yes, he does. All those things are true. But this isn't me necessarily addressing him, but it's a window into comments because we've gotten that. That's come back our way. We've gone, hey, I'm a little concerned here. He got his helmet came off a couple times. It negated a touchdown on one play. And are we concerned at all? He's getting hit a lot. No problem because we've lived through this and everyone's telling us that it's overblown. And then they point to Lamar Jackson. A, my response is always the guy's been hurt a lot talking about Lamar Jackson. So I don't want to sign up for that. But the second part is, if we're doing that, if we're going to do Lamar, I don't have a better way to say it than that. If we're signing up for a Lamar Jackson type thing, then let's revisit what we did this offseason. Then let's build a team that way. Where's my Mark Andrews and my Isaiah Likely? Where's all of my, as you said, extra offensive linemen to go jumbo to, you know, when we're running power this and power that all the time.
Big-ass fullback.
Yeah, where's my fullback? And, you know, you would build the whole team differently if that's what you're doing. The whole point of him, talking about Jaden Daniels, was you've got, if Lamar's a 10 out of 10 as a runner, which I would say he is as a quarterback, it's yes. Him, Michael Vick, and maybe...
I'd say Jaden is too, by the way.
Fields. I would say slightly less than that, like a 9.5, okay, but still sure. Really good. One of the greats of all time in that regard. The whole point of Jaden Daniels to me wasn't that we're just doing that. The whole point was, this is also a prolific thrower. Not quite to the Joe Burrow level coming out of LSU, but closer to that than Heath Shuler back in the day was an option quarterback at Tennessee. You know what right. I mean? Like, the whole point was we had this extra bit, too, where he was prolific in the passing game. We want the best of both worlds. If we're just doing a, dude, we can do a Justin Fields offense right now and win 8 games. Oh, fine, but that's not what we signed up for. That's not what we wanted. That's totally. Not what we were supposed to be doing.
And it's too early to really go elbow deep into this conversation because it's only one game. And it could have just been the way the game played out, and it's not their design or their idea at all. When you add it, though, to those a comment where he goes, guys, the MVP of the league did the same thing this week, so it's okay. Not my favorite. But let's give it a few games before we really dive into, you know, a discussion on whether or not maybe that's the vision and we just didn't know it. But my guess is they come out, they look way more traditional in how they throw the football. Daniels is way more patient in the pocket, doesn't leave as quickly, and they try to get the air game going against a horrific secondary this weekend. Will Brinson's going to join us to go around the NFL at 5 o'clock here on Grant and Danny. Is Washington going to take advantage of some of the Giants' issues? We'll get into that next right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the program. We'll talk to Will Brinson of CBS coming up at 5, go around the NFL as we get ready for week 2 to kick off tonight. The Bills and the Dolphins from Miami on Thursday Night Football. Did I see the Gold Pants make their official return this weekend?
I've seen that, yes. The team tweeted that out, and it was met with great excitement among many fans.
At risk of being slapped away like you're Dikembe Mutombo and I'm headed to the rim, I know you're not a fan of the uniform discussion, but the Gold Pants are, in a lot of ways, an olive branch to the fans that are upset about the new colors and the new look and the new gear. And this ownership group made that pretty clear when Josh Harris went to the podium and talked to reporters and took questions, something Dan Snyder didn't do for decades, just before the kickoff of the season at the last preseason game. And he said that going to those gold pants was an effort to just show that they are trying to do as much as they can to bridge the past to the current operation. And the fans that feel disenfranchised, you know, hopefully see that they are trying to reach out to them. People want the name change. People want all kinds of different things. They'll make all their demands. But I think that's a nice step, if nothing else. It's a good attempt.
No, it is. And I'm not angry.
There's
not gonna,
so many
like,
things they can control.
Precisely. I'm not going to throw some temper tantrum and say I'm not watching them. I personally just see and hear Bruce Allen again, and I think of that era, because he was doing that. He was like, What are we known as? The Burgundy and Gold? Gold pants. And he thought he was so proud of himself, and he'd walk around like he invented fire. And that drove me crazy. So the name I hear Dan talking to me, and the gold pants I see Bruce as his mouthpiece. Not everyone sees that. So again, I'm
even
not like,
though the gold pants are pre-Bruce.
Totally. And I'm not knocking this one. I'm just simply saying, for me, I'm not really that interested in or into it. And also, you already mentioned it for uniform stuff anyway. Unless it's this is what we wore in the 80s and 90s. Joe Gibbs said we wear white at home, or we're going to do that exact thing. Then I'm interested. If you don't do that, then it's for someone else. So I'm not upset.
I like the pants. I've always liked the pants. I think it's a good look. This is an aside and doesn't matter, but it is kind of funny to me. They're not gold. We call them gold. They're mustard yellow, yeah, basically. Now, they are essentially the colors of the uniform, and they've been part of the uniform for a long time. But gold to me is like what the 49ers wear, right? That metallic. You know what gold looks like when you see it.
Sure.
The Commanders pants are like that brighter like yellow that we call gold.
Yep.
Just a throwaway comment and nothing.
Not a Thurman.
But I've always found that interesting. Like, go back when I was on the beat, people were like, are they wearing their gold pants today? And I'd wait till Nick Sundberg would run out of the tunnel. I'd be like, it's gold pants today. And everyone's like, yeah, gold pants. When really, it's like the mustard yellow pants. Doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying that.
It's like that. It's like the ballpark French's mustard yellow.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Gold feels different. Gold feels, you're right, 49ers are the best one, that red and gold iconic thing.
Absolutely. You know exactly what it is, that Garrison Hurst, like 49ers padded pant look.
Just
in Washington maybe has worn those. You know when they wear gold, honestly, is when they wear the weird throwbacks from the Griffin Cousins era on homecoming day. With like the brown helmet that was supposed to be leather. And like, I thought that was a fire kit, by the way. I used to love it. But they would have like the very basic burgundy jersey with actual kind of metallic gold, like 49ers-like pants. That's the only time I really remember them wearing true gold. Otherwise, the burgundy and gold is more like USC yellow in a way.
Right. Arizona State yellow. Look out.
Arizona State plays. I got a QB that started a career there.
That's right.
And I drafted number 2 overall. The question at hand, though, and you said earlier you're worried about is, you know, are they going to be able to take advantage of how bad the Giants are? If they do take advantage of something, do you think it would be Daniel Jones who's lit them up? You know, maybe a porous offensive line with their pass rush with Allen and Payne? Could it be on the other side of the ball for the Giants where their secondary's gross and maybe McLaurin goes 7 for a bill or they get a number 2 receiver? Maybe that's Zacchaeus or De'Ami Brown. I don't even know who it would be. Who do I have confidence in if it's not Noah Brown, who we haven't seen yet, actually going and getting the football? Maybe it's McLaurin and Noah Brown who put up a combined, you know, 10 for 170 or something.
Yeah, where are the big plays in the passing game going to come from? I think that's going to be our essential question week in and week out for now until, you know, something else changes. Or one of them, as it pertains to Daniels, this offense, him running is probably the other biggest one. But to me, it's got to be something short or intermediate that gets broken. AKA in this horizontal type deal, you think of Brian Robinson rumbling down the field, breaking tackles in space, running kind of a shallow crosser, but everyone else is out of there. So he's got a head full of steam, and now he's taking something short and getting something big out of it, right? Same thing with Austin Ekeler, taking a check down for 22 yards on his first touch. I think that's where their big plays are going to come from for the indefinite future. Maybe you hit one, like the first play of the second half, missing McLaurin by a yard or two, overthrowing it. Maybe you hit one of those at some point. But I think consistently, the short's going to have to become something that gets broken. And maybe that's the path this week against the Giants.
At 5:30, we should tackle the state of the secondary now that Emmanuel Forbes is out 4 to 6 weeks having surgery today on his thumb. That story broke in our first hour. If you missed that, you can grab our reaction at thefandc.com. But we'll give you a detailed breakdown on what the corner and safety situation is going to look like as some shuffling is going to be done now with Forbes missing. Also, speaking of Noah Igbinoghene going to help replace Forbes, Noah Brown is expected to make his debut. How impactful will he be? We'll get into that at 5:30 as well. Will Brinson joins us next to go around the NFL on Grant and Danny.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.